Okay, now, again, of the paramilitary milieu, which appears to be very much an M.O. with the Reagan administration.
Now, note again that David Duke, working with Dr. Arnold Ochsner, the son of Dr. Alton Ochsner, who had made a recording of Lee Harvey Oswald, basically talking about what a communist he was. This was broadcast all over the United States on the evening of President Kennedy's assassination. And it basically, in my opinion, convinced a lot of liberals who might otherwise have spoken up about the assassination to remain silent, because the fear was that the communists, quote-unquote the Soviet Union, would get the blame for President Kennedy's assassination, and that this, in turn, would precipitate a Third World War. It's something to think about, but overall, beginning in Southeast Asia in the 70s, on up through Great Britain in the late 70s, then his role in the Dominica coup, probably a provocation of some kind in the early 80s, right on up through his work with Dr. Arnold Ochsner, the son of Dr. Alton Ochsner, the humanitarian David Duke was raising money for the Contras. And again, it looks very much as if there is some kind of national security connection, some sort of intelligence connection to David Duke. There is a distinct possibility suggested by that intersection of evidence that Duke is an agent of some kind. I mention this because the first role of Adolf Hitler in U.S. government life was as an undercover informant for the German army, and the German Nazi Party in its inception was a front for Reichswehr intelligence. We're going to hear about that in just a minute. I'm going to play a short section now from a Hard Rain show dealing with the founding of the Nazi Party, and bear in mind David Duke's probable status as a U.S. intelligence agent, because that's exactly how Adolf Hitler got his start in government life. Beyond that, the German Nazi Party in its inception was a front for Reichswehr intelligence, German army intelligence. This particular Hard Rain show is in the archives as a permanent miscellaneous archive show. It is also included as part of Radio Free America program number 10. So we're going to proceed with this segment since time is a-waning here. Those of you who are taping, please get ready to do so. 3, 2, 1, here we go. Now, the next thing that Haydn goes on to describe here is the fact that Ernst Röhm basically was the key man who formed the German Nazi Party. Now, this was the German Nazi Party, that is, the German National Socialist Workers' Party, basically grew out of a defunct political party. Now, the key figure, again, with the formation of the German Nazi Party was Ernst Röhm. And it's important to note a couple of things here. First of all, that in its inception, the German Nazi Party was nothing more than a front for German military intelligence. The German Nazi Party was basically a vehicle for introducing the German army into civilian life for the purposes of fomenting political reaction and eventually promoting a political situation in Germany favorable to the realization of the long-standing dream of German generals and industrialists of world conquest, okay? But remember, in its inception, the German Nazi Party was nothing more than a front for German military intelligence. And it's worth noting that the same person who, according to Haydn, was the key figure with regard to the formation of the Freikorps and the Black Reichswehr, and to all appearances the liaison officer between the regular German general staff and these so-called Freikorps, these so-called underground organizations, again, actually an extension of the German army, was Ernst Röhm. He then becomes the founder of the German Nazi Party, and after the Nazi Party was founded, Ernst Röhm became the head of the SA, the Sturmabteilung, who were the brown shirts. These were the fellows who actually went out into the streets of Weimar Germany and, through force of arms, basically conquered all of their opponents by either driving them underground or killing them outright. Okay, and as Haydn points out in the passage I'm about to read, entire companies of the supposedly demobilized German army were turned out in the ranks of the Sturmabteilung, the brown shirts, up to company strength. Okay? Haydn writes as follows in Der Führer of the founding of the Nazi Party. Röhm founded the National Socialist German Workers' Party. It might be said to have existed before him under the simpler name of the German Workers' Party. But that was a club, sitting in the back rooms of little restaurants, talking. At all events, a mere idea. And an idea it remained until the club, seeking to win over the German workers, became the party of soldiers. This was Röhm's work. He discovered the club, joined it, an officer among workers, and not he alone. With commands, he forced his soldiers. With pleas, he drove his comrades into it. Thus, the party became a political troop. Whole Reichswehr companies marched through the streets in civilian clothes as National Socialists. Thus arose the formation which later, as the SA, became the basic party formation. So again, not to belabor the point, the German Nazi Party in its inception, a front for German military intelligence, the supposedly demobilized German army simply being turned out in the ranks of the stormtroopers, the brown shirts. Now, where does Adolf Hitler fit into this whole business? Basically, Adolf Hitler, just like Ernst Röhm, was an underground, undercover intelligence agent for the German army during this revolutionary period. Now, jumping back in time just a little bit, Hitler's first assignment as an undercover German army intelligence agent was to infiltrate the unsuccessful German revolution in the Munich area and betray it. And this he did quite effectively. Basically, he was a stool pigeon. Haydn writes about this in Der Führer as follows. When the white troops entered Munich, they went to the 19th Infantry Barracks and found a body of soldiers which an eyewitness later called a wild red rabble, unquote. Every 10th man chosen at random was stood up against the wall and shot. Only one was set aside from the very first to be spared. His position was only too clear. When the high officers of the Munich Reichswehr fled before the radical uprising, they had left this man behind to observe and report. A dangerous commission requiring courage, but ugly. A few months previous, this man had attracted the attention of his officers in a strange way. They all noticed him, one of them later recollected, because his salutes were so punctilious as to be provocative in those revolutionary months when most of the soldiers defiantly refrained from saluting at all. When the government troops stormed Munich, his comrades wanted to help defend the city. He made a speech dissuading them. His comrades had suspected him of being a spy, and during the Soviet regime he barely escaped arrest. Now he became the executioner. After May 2nd, an examining commission sent hundreds of men to the slaughterhouse wall. This man soon came to the attention of the commission, which used him as an informer. He delivered his reports in writing and later boasted of them. When he was ordered before the examining commission, wrote one of his friends, his indictments cast a merciless clarity upon the unspeakable disgrace of the military treason practiced by the Jewish dictatorship of Munich's Soviet period, unquote. By rank, this stool pigeon was a corporal. By nationality, strange to say, an Austrian. His stated profession was painter and architect. His name was Adolf Hitler. Well, that passage is essentially accurate in all but one small respect. His real name, that is to say, Hitler's real name, was not Adolf Hitler at all. That was an intelligence alias. His real name was Adolf Schickelgruber. Now, following his role infiltrating the German Revolution in the Munich area, his next assignment, basically Hitler's next assignment, was to join the fledgling Nazi Party. Remember, this was essentially at this stage an intelligence front under the direction of Ernst Röhm. A good account of this is provided in a book we've covered before. The book is called The Plot Against the Peace, authored by Michael Sayers and Albert E. Kahn, published in March of 1945 by the Dial Press, hardcover edition. This, of course, was the book that we used in the last broadcast for our description of the FEMA. And of Adolf Hitler's infiltration, or of Adolf Hitler's next assignment following the infiltration of the German Revolution, Sayers and Kahn write as follows. In the spring of 1919, a so-called Reichswehr instructor, unquote, or a spy, stationed as a corporal at the depot of the 16th Regiment in Munich, received orders from his superiors to go into an organization called the German Workers' Party and to help other Reichswehr agents reorganize it as an instrument of general staff propaganda for the post-war period. The officer who gave these orders was Captain Ernst Röhm, founder of the Freikorps Reichsflagge, and in charge of Reichswehr political intrigue in the Munich area. The name of the spy who received these orders was Adolf Schickelgruber, a former pan-German propagandist from Vienna, who had adopted the alias of Adolf Hitler and was currently being trained as a mass agitator by the political department of the District Army Command under General von Lossow, L-O-S-S-O-W. The German Workers' Party had originally been set up by the Pan-German League in collaboration with the Kaiser's Socialists, unquote, the social democratic ministers in the German cabinet, to win popular support for the Kaiser's war aims. After the armistice, the organization had collapsed. On instructions from the Reichswehr political department, the pan-German agent Gottfried Feder was trying to revive the German Workers' Party as an anti-Semitic and anti-communist mass propaganda organization. Hitler was one of several pan-German propagandists, spies, and agents sent by the Reichswehr political department to assist Feder in this work. In the first pages of Mein Kampf, Hitler writes, "I joined a regiment then in garrison at Munich as instructing officer. One day I was ordered by my superiors to look into an apparently political organization that, under the name of the German Workers' Party, was soon to hold a meeting at which Gottfried Feder was to speak. Hitler joined the German Workers' Party as member number 7. Other members included Captain Ernst Röhm, the Reichswehr agents and pan-German propagandists Gottfried Feder, Anton Drexler, and Dietrich Eckert, and the Freikorps leader General von Epp. These men reorganized the party and renamed it the German Workers' National Socialist Party. Among the first recruits were the Egyptian-born international adventurer and ex-officer Rudolf Hess, and the Baltic White Guard and anti-Semitic propagandist from Tsarist Russia, Alfred Rosenberg. Out of this underworld political alliance of pan-German propagandists, Reichswehr spies, Freikorps leaders, and international adventurers, the Nazi Party was born." A couple of points to make there. First of all, recall that General von Epp was Röhm's superior. Röhm was his adjutant in the Munich area. And we're going to talk about General von Epp here again in a second. Note also that these people, Dietrich Eckert, Rudolf Hess, and Alfred Rosenberg, went on to become key members of the German Nazi Party, and that they were all there at the inception of this organization, acting in the capacity of German army intelligence agents. Once again, take note of the fact that just like David Duke appears to be an intelligence agent for the United States, Hitler began also as an intelligence agent. I'm not suggesting that this is a precise historical analogy, but I think it's a valid one and very important under the circumstances. By the way, there's a piece of disinformation there. Hitler's real name was Adolf Hitler during the Second World War, and a plot against the peace. It was written in March of 45 when the war was still going on. Many people who were active anti-fascists, and Michael Sayers and Albert E. Kahn, the authors of The Plot Against the Peace, were active in an anti-fascist organization called The Hour, with, among others, Hannah Arendt and Albert Einstein. And it was believed that the alliterative saying of Heil Hitler would lose a lot of its magnetic appeal if Hitler were deemed Adolf Schickelgruber. So this was a piece of a World War II propaganda. The other information in both of these books, The Plot Against the Peace by Michael Sayers and Albert E. Kahn, and also the other book, which by the way is called Der Führer by Conrad Heiden, Heiden, hardcover edition Houghton Mifflin, 1944, is all accurate. That pretty much concludes the prepared portion of tonight's program. Now, all of our archive broadcast shows are on permanent file with a tape duplication company. The name of that company is Archives on Audio. That's Archives on Audio. They're located at P.O. Box 170023, San Francisco, California, 94117. The phone number is area code 415-346-1840. 415-346-1840. I should also mention that neither myself nor this station makes any money off of this announcement. This is FYI. This is Dave Emery thanking all the listeners for their contributions and encouraging them to tune in again to the next broadcast. Until then, take care.